And welcome back to the Tuned In Podcast.
Let's go.
We're back here for episode 33.
Yes, sir.
The Larry Bird episode.
Yes, sir.
The Kareem episode?
The Johnny Juzang episode.
The Johnny Juzang episode, more appropriate, I would say. Well, he's a free agent.
So yeah, I guess technically.
We'll see. How's your week been?
Oh, man. It's been so good. I'm so tired of construction on the road. I was like trying to go my normal route today and the road was blocked off, so that was kind of unfortunate.
Me too. No, yeah. I know exactly what road you're talking about, like by the like training facility at BYU, that one.
That little loop,
Yeah, no, that was close. It was a little bit further of a drive, so.
Yeah, but that's definitely first world problems. We're blessed. We're blessed to live where we live, so how are you doing?
I would say bouncing off that, in the Midwest when I was there, there was summer. Or there was winter is the main season. You know, the winters in the Midwest are kind of hard.
Yeah, kind of wild.
Winter season and construction season, and that's the year round.
Yeah, dude.
So,
oh, horrible.
You love it. gotta have the construction, I guess. But man, they're slow.
That's right.
But good week for basketball. I know we'll talk about the NBA finals. A little bit disappointing in terms of competitiveness and action, but we'll talk about that. But yeah, I guess this episode we have actually some jazz news. We'll talk about one of the famous broadcasters, Steve Kolacki, that passed away, and Keontae's broadcast experience or something in the finals. I know he's interviewing a little bit. We're going to look at some mock trades that the Jazz can make leading up to the draft, which is in 11 days.
Mm.
So exciting. Then we'll get into some NBA news across the league and talk about the Utah hockey team branding that just released this week.
That'd be sweet. Remember to follow us on all social media, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We're on Instagram. We're also, if you've missed it the last couple weeks, we're also posting on YouTube now. So it might be a little easier to share and comment and interact with us that way. And you'll also see we posted last week's tier list on Threads as well, which is kind of interesting. We're trying new things. So wherever we can find you best, follow us on there, and we would love to hear your thoughts on our episode today. And this is episode 33 of Tuned In Jazz. Ooh, all right. Well, we talked a little last week about Keontae being a finals correspondent, maybe turning that into a media career post NBA life. Did you see his post on his story after? Or
yes.
I guess it was during. It was interesting. He was like, you could see he's from the crowd. It said, seeing it firsthand, great atmosphere, but Utah, y'all know how y'all get. Let's keep building. Love. I actually love that. I can see one of the comments that says fire Danny Ainge. I just thought that was kind of interesting, but but I think it's cool, like showing love. Like obviously finals crowd gets pretty crazy for game three too. Like they still had hope at that point.
Well, I mean, there was a certain point in this game where you could hear the crowd from the broadcast, which is pretty cool.
It's pretty well.
I mean, they came back from down 21.
That was a crazy run.
To cut it to two and lose. So
yeah.
Or
but
one.
Him showing us that type of love is so cool. I love that he loves the Jazz. That's like a good sign to me, I think.
Yeah,
so.
And I think that means when you're going to Jazz games, you got to like prove us right.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to get loud when the game's close at the end or stand
absolutely.
Up when appropriate, right? I think I always compare it to BYU Marriott Center games, and I still think there's room for improvement for our loudness and our excitement.
Absolutely.
I also add, Keontae is like 20 years old.
Yeah.
He's it's so crazy. Young, and like I'm 22.
Yeah.
So like him being 2 years younger than me just feels so weird.
Yeah.
And he's like doing this broadcast thing in the NBA finals, and that's so crazy to me.
I think it was good for him to be there too. I've seen like these guys in the finals give advice, like Amen Thompson and Asar Thompson and Jabari Smith Jr. also doing, I think, game one and two. And it was cool to see like Kyrie and Jason Tatum give these guys advice about, like, I think Kyrie told Keontae something about setting goals and keeping those goals, and That's the type of mentorship we need. So
I love that. And it reminds me, I don't know if you remember Kobe Bryant when he was retired. There was like the Mamba Academy or something where all the players would go to Kobe and learn like all the different skills. And I watched this like podcast series from Jackie McMullen. I don't know if you heard of her, but she went and interviewed all these players, and Kobe, he would call up Hakeem and say, teach me the dream shake or help me with my post game. Or he'd call up, he apparently had a great relationship with MJ where he'd call him and ask him questions about everything. And so I'm glad the NBA is a place where it's not, I know they're super ultra competitive and they want to win, but they're willing to share the things that they've learned to help the next generation of players.
Oh, absolutely.
And so I hope that Kyrie gave him some more advice than just goals. I hope that he gave him some advice on handles and shooting, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so.
We'd love to see him develop some of those moves. But
yeah, I feel like the NBA hasn't always been that league where like players wanted each other to succeed. Like, there's still some bad blood in the NBA, I'd say. But even like this series, like there's so much reason to have bad blood. Porzingis, Kyrie both played, you know, for the opposite team and kind of both left on terms that were not the greatest. Maybe Kyrie more so than Porzingis, but like you've seen them in interviews like talk nicely about each other and talk about how well the other people played, and it's like I love that. Like, as much as I love the competitiveness on the floor, like of course they're trying to kill each other out there, but like afterwards you can be friends, you can like root for each other, you know. That's kind of cool.
I mean, in the 90s and even like the 2000s, not that way at all.
No, definitely like not.
Like Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan, like that whole spiel about him not being on the dream team just because of spite.
Oh yeah.
Like they hated each other off the court, but
yeah,
now
they still hate each other.
Literally, I don't think they speak.
No, I don't think so.
I'm glad that it's gotten to the point where they're friends.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Of course on the court it's competitive. So honestly, I feel like in a way Kobe Bryant might have helped out with that just in the way that he would share all of his all of his stuff. So
absolutely.
I guess moving forward to some Jazz news a little bit more. Steve Kolaki passed away.
Yep.
Since our last episode, he was like a commentator for the Salt Lake Bees.
Yeah, he was the radio voice for the Bees for like a couple of decades. Yeah. I know he did some stuff for the Jazz. I don't think he was ever like a main voice for the Jazz, but kind of a sad loss for our sports community, I guess, in Utah.
Yeah. I love familiar voices. Can't say I've listened to a lot of the Bees, but especially with the Jazz, having those familiar voices, you just kind of feel like they're your friend.
Oh yeah.
So it's
absolutely
kind of lost a friend in that sense. But
yes, prayers up for him and his family. Hopefully they can have peace at this time.
Yeah. Well, I have a couple mock trades for you.
Okay.
Prefacing this by saying I didn't make these. Don't like, if you think these trades are foolish, I guess I'll tell you the name of the person that posted them on Fanspo. I think I'll get maybe three or four.
Okay.
I'll describe the trade and then I'll let you know W or L for both teams.
Okay.
Give me that. So this first trade, it's a three-team trade with the Thunder and the Kings.
Okay.
And so let's start. The Jazz are going to give up John Collins and the first round pick number 29 and the Washington pick number 32.
Okay.
All of that's going to the Thunder, and Jordan Clarkson is getting traded to the Kings.
Okay.
Okay. And then in return for basically Collins, those two lower picks and Jordan Clarkson, we get back Davion Mitchell from the Kings.
Ooh, okay.
And Josh Giddey from the Thunder. And we get number 12 and 13 picks.
Interesting.
This is horrible. I don't think whoever made this gave the Jazz a lot of stuff. So yeah. Would you edit this trade at all? I definitely would, but what would you say?
If I'm the Jazz, 100% I'm doing the deal. But I think I don't really see what Oklahoma City gets out of that. Like, they lose
Giddey for nothing, basically, they lose their pick.
They basically downgrade from Giddey to Collins, and they also downgrade their pick from 12 to 29. And I don't really see what they're getting Yeah.
Yeah, I think we would have to give our 10th pick to them.
I would think so, yeah.
Or not get Giddy at all.
Which I would argue might even be worth it. I really like Davion Mitchell. When he was in college, his nickname was like Off Night or something. The dude's just a crazy good perimeter defender. I don't know. I wonder if he could play the two next to Keontae. That would be kind of interesting, but I like him a lot.
Yeah, if anything, he's younger than Chris Dunn. So
yeah, absolutely.
He's kind of getting on the older side.
Rotation guy.
Yeah, no, this trade is foolish. Whoever made it is definitely a Jazz fan. But I do like the idea of trading Jordan Clarkson to the Kings.
Yeah, absolutely.
That works, but I personally don't want Giddy.
No.
For me, I know some people do, but...
I think the like controversy around him is all pretty much water under the bridge. Like, nobody seems to talk about it anymore. Especially because
he's going to get traded, I think, at some point. I don't know if it's going to be... Could be to the Jazz, but I think we're looking for some more talent than him. And
Giddy could be a nice piece on a team, but I don't know how he fits on our team. So, yeah.
Yeah, we've kind of got our point guard of the future already.
Most definitely.
Okay, this one, for some reason, these fans love three-team trades. This is kind of a sad one. Okay, so we're trading with the Hawks and the Thunder again.
Okay.
We're getting Josh Giddy again, by the way.
Okay.
But we're also getting Usman Jang. And 2025 Philadelphia first-round pick from the Thunder and a second-round pick from the Thunder.
Okay.
And we're also getting the Hawks' first-round pick this year, number one, getting the number one pick. And we're getting their 2030 pick.
Ooh.
Okay.
Interesting.
Can you follow? So here, I'll just say what every team gets. So the Jazz, we're going to get DeAndre Hunter, Josh Giddey, and Usman Jang.
Okay.
Three first round picks, including the number one.
Oh my gosh.
And three second round picks.
The haul.
But we're giving up Lauri Markkanen, John Collins, and Colin Sexton.
Oof.
So the Hawks will get Lauri for the first pick. What do you think? Is that worth it?
That's a haul for the Jazz. I'm honestly not on team trade Lauri, but if we were going to, that's the type of deal I would hope we would get. Like, the Hawks pick this year might be valuable, and their 2030 pick might be actually kind of valuable.
Mm-hmm.
I like DeAndre Hunter a lot. He showed some promise at certain points. Man, that's tough to lose Sexton and Markkanen. That would be tough.
Yeah, I would say I want to keep Lauri.
Me too.
And even though the first overall pick, it's probably going to be Alex Sarr.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know if... I just don't know very much about Alex Sarr. Maybe I need to do my research, but I would rather keep Lauri personally. Yeah.
I think Alex Sarr could be a slam dunk. However, I just don't think there's that many like sure things this year. I mean, they're usually not sure things, but like usually like there's two or three guys that you're like, okay, this guy's going to be really good if he stays healthy. But I just don't see that guy this year in the draft. So it's a gamble no matter where you pick.
Okay. I got one more. This one I think is actually realistic.
Okay.
So we're trading with the Nets in this.
Okay.
And we get Dorian Finney-Smith and Dennis Schroeder.
Okay.
And we give up John Collins, Omer Yurtseven, and the 29th pick. Thoughts? W or L?
I'd say a W. I mean, I don't think that trade moves the needle a ton for me. But I do like Schroeder and Finney-Smith. I think we're done with Collins. You're at seven. I mean, we could take him or leave him, in my opinion. So, I mean, I would be totally... I think it'd be a W. Maybe it would improve us by one win. I don't know. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, I think I like this trade. I also think Dennis Schroeder is underrated.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I'd like it, personally.
Yeah, Dennis Schroeder might... If he had taken that Lakers deal a couple years ago, he might be making $90 million on a contract as of right now. But he just, unfortunate circumstances. But he's a great player, great point guard.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. Okay, this one's kind of the most spicy one,
okay,
in my opinion. We're trading with the Rockets.
Ooh, okay. They got not nice pieces there.
They do. And so we are going to be giving up Lauri Markkanen,
ooh,
Omer Yurtseven, and Darius Bazley.
Okay.
So basically just Lowry. Basically just Lowry.
Okay.
And we, in return, we will get Jalen Green,
ooh,
Jabari Smith Jr., four first-round picks, and a second-round pick.
Oh, man. I feel like there's no way Houston does that deal, but 100% I'm accepting that deal. Like, Jalen Green, I like Jalen Green a lot, and I like Jabari Smith.
Those picks look valuable, too. And like, we don't know if the Rockets are going to be any good.
Yeah.
And one of those picks is 2026 Brooklyn and 2025 Brooklyn.
Yeah.
So,
oh, shoot.
Brooklyn's not going to be that good.
No, they're not. I will say, though, I do like, if I'm Houston, Alperen Şengün and Markkanen next to each other would actually be like so kind of crazy. But I would 100% accept that.
I would
from
accept
the Jazz.
It too. As much as I love Lowry, those picks are going to be so good.
That's the type of haul we need to get if we're going to trade Lowry, which I'm not really sold on. So,
okay, let's do one more and then we'll be done.
Okay.
Apparently, the fans just want to get rid of Lowry. So, this is our last Lowry deal and the last one in general. We're getting an absolute haul from the Pistons in this trade for Lowry.
Oh, okay.
Basically, everything they can give.
Another team with some nice assets.
Yeah. So, we're going to be giving up Lowry and Darius Bazley for salary reasons.
Okay.
And in return, we're going to get like their whole team. I'm just kidding. We're going to get Asar Thompson.
Okay.
Jaden Ivey and Jalen Duren.
Oh, dude. I freaking love Jalen Duren.
And then also, we're going to get 6 second round picks. And 2 first-round picks from the Pistons in 2027 and 2029.
What? Oh, man. I don't know if Lowry's that valuable. But, I mean,
do we even care about 6 second-round picks? I don't really care, to be honest.
No,
I'm more
not
thinking
really
about those 2 first-round picks. But,
oh, man, that's an incredible trade. I mean, I'm 100%. That's another one I would accept if I was a Jazz. I just don't know.
Their whole young core is ours, basically. Duren, Thompson, and Ivy. That's pretty good.
I think, I think that's the type of deal that I hope Danny Ainge is looking for if he's going to trade Lowry. He mentioned that they need a lot back. So I hope I hope he just absolutely fleeces somebody if we do trade him, because that's the type of trade we need if it's going to happen.
Okay, I know I said that was the last one, but I got one more.
Okay.
This one's really fast. With the Grizzlies, we trade to them Jordan Clarkson, the 29th and 32nd picks.
Okay.
And in return, we get Marcus Smart and the 9th pick.
Oh, dang.
That's...
I don't know why they would...
I don't know why they give us the 9th pick there. I would take out the 9th pick to make it more realistic, but...
Yeah. Interesting. I like Marcus Smart. He could be a nice fit. I kind of feel like we owe it to Jordan Clarkson to let him move on with the point he's at in his career and the point we're at with our rebuild. We're not ready to compete.
I feel like he could help Ja Morant just like get his head on straight.
He fits the vibe of the Grizzlies, I feel like Jordan does, because he's kind of a...
Okay, I know that was the last one. I'd say W.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Some fun trades. The finals are heating up, or rather not really heating up.
Simmering down.
I guess they... Maybe there was a little flame lit last night, but probably not enough. Celtics are up 3-1. I think last time we talked, they were up 2-0. Going back to Boston. Man, what it...
Let's talk about game 3 first.
Yeah, let's do.
I watched a good amount of the fourth quarter, basically the whole fourth quarter of that game. And it was pretty exciting. Dallas, this was when Keontae was at the game. Dallas came back from down like 21 or 22 to cut it to 1.
Yep.
And then choked.
Yep.
Luka fouls out at the very end of the game on a blocking foul. He kind of been complaining the entire game to the refs.
Yeah.
He's back at his old antics.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just felt like in a lot of these closer scenarios, the Celtics just have more in those moments. Like Jaylen Brown hit... Even in game three, Jaylen Brown hit a really clutch shot from the top of the key.
Yep.
Derek White's hitting shots. Everybody's hitting their shots when it matters. And so they can go on a dry spell. In game two, they can shoot 25% from three and they still win.
Yeah.
And so that being the case, like, it's going to be hard for Dallas.
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if you saw it. There was like a clip the Mavs were in a 20-2 run, and then Jason Kidd called a timeout after a missed shot. And I know that the Dallas had missed a couple of shots before that, but I still think that that was kind of a bad coaching move. I just feel like if the other team, even if your team's not hitting for just a minute or two, because they had missed a couple, if the other team's missing, you need to keep the momentum rolling, you know? And so I guess that's not the end of the world. Also, if you're Luka, you really can't foul out in that game. There's a lot of talk about the officiating. I don't think any of those calls were too crazy missed. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel
It was unfortunate, but...
And then going on to game four, just an absolute blowout. Like, this game was not even close. Dallas went up by, like, almost 40, it seems like, 30-something. And Boston only finished with 84 points, which is abysmal.
Yeah. This might sound crazy. When I was watching last night, I was like, I could see this going six, maybe. Like, they could win another one. Maybe seven.
I think,
but
that was my prediction, Boston in six.
Yeah.
So that would be, I'm okay with that.
You put it online,
Go along with my prediction.
I think the hard thing here, we've talked a lot about like Boston not having a crazy path to the finals and Dallas kind of having a crazy path. I just don't think you can, if you're Dallas, you can go through all those series and fight so hard and then get to a team that hasn't really like had to push themselves that much, you know, like. I think it might just be like an energy thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I really don't think Boston's that much better of a team than Dallas. It's just a matchup problem, in my opinion.
I'm looking at like, I don't know if you know the game cast, like the little lead tracker, like with the lines. I love watching that on ESPN, the little ticker.
Yeah.
But Dallas was up by 20 at the end of the first quarter.
Yeah.
Up by 30 at the end of the second quarter.
Dang.
Still probably like 35 at the end of the third quarter. And then at one point in the fourth quarter, they were up by 48 points.
Oh my gosh.
So absolute bomb. And I think Tatum and the starters like just stopped playing in the third quarter and they just sat them. And so Dallas just piled it on, I guess. They just wanted their stats. But yeah, it wasn't even close. It was done in the third quarter.
Yeah. I think the thing that I'm so confused about with this series, going back to last series for Dallas, they go into Minnesota, and Minnesota was like kind of being seen as like this really elite defensive team, like they looked against Denver. And Boston's looked at the same way, but for some reason, like, I don't know, it's just weird to me. Like, Dallas played really, really well against Minnesota's defense, but against Boston, they just like, I've really struggled. So it's just interesting that like two elite defenses just have had different impacts.
The 35 points the Celtics had in the first half represents the Celtics' lowest scoring total in a half, in either half, in Mazzulla's two seasons as head coach.
Dang, in any game?
In any game. The worst scoring half they've ever had with Mazzulla.
Oh, wow.
So you can't really count on that to happen again.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Sometimes there's a lid on the rim. Yeah. Sometimes you just can't buy a bucket, and that's what happened today or yesterday.
Yeah, not only are they odds against them because they were down 3-0, but they're also going to have to win two games on the road, and that's just...
It's hard.
That's tough.
I don't know. I'm predicting a closeout next game in Boston.
So? Yeah, I could see it. You might as well close in Boston if you're get your ring in your hometown.
Sweep, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
But hopefully we get more games. I'd love to see game six or game seven too. So
I don't know if you saw this meme, but and I don't mean to be irreverent about it, but people were mentioning that Jerry West would rather die than see the Celtics win another ring. Which brings us to our next point. Unfortunately, obviously the logo, Jerry West, has passed away. Kind of sad. Sad news. NBA legend, icon, whatever you want to call him.
Oh, I would easily icon.
Yeah.
I'll just read some of his accolades because I think it's worth saying.
Absolutely.
Hall of Fame career, 14-time All-Star, 1969-70 scoring champion, 70-71 assist champion, 1972 NBA champion, finally didn't have to play the Celtics that year. Yeah. a 12-time All-NBA, 5-time All-Defensive. Would have had more if they had, like, started keeping track earlier. 1968 to 69 Finals MVP on the losing team. He's the only Finals MVP on the losing team ever.
Wow.
And NBA 75th anniversary, all 75 team.
Man.
So he had an amazing career. The logo, Mr. Clutch. I don't know if you've heard about like his upbringing, but he had a pretty broken home when he was younger. Mm-hmm. His
so sad.
Brother passed away when he was younger. And it didn't matter. He kept strong and determined. And I think basketball was like his release. And
yeah,
ended up being an amazing front office guy at the Lakers. Yeah. They can thank him for the Showtime Lakers and
absolutely.
Kobe and Shaq. So great guy. We'll miss him.
Yes, he will be missed. Another guy that NBA is kind of losing. Well, I mean, he's not dying, obviously, but last night after game 4, Charles Barkley announced that next season would be his last season on television.
So sad.
Inside
he's
the
my
NBA
favorite
is done,
guy.
So.
He's my favorite.
Oh, the funny thing is he knows basketball, but he also says some crazy stuff. So you kind of just like, he's so fun to watch, but kind of a sad loss for the NBA community. I guess he's not dying, but kind of interesting.
Hopefully he keeps up his podcast with Ernie.
Yeah, I hope so.
I don't know. We'll
That's
see.
A good podcast, yeah.
The Steam Room, shout out to them. They do good things on there.
Yeah, absolutely. But that goes along with Inside the NBA, which is obviously going away after next year. TNT lost their NBA rights. I was just curious. I think it would be interesting if we had like an Inside Jazz kind of similar format inside the NBA. We kind of talked a little bit about like who we would put on our little panel of guys. Who would you put on yours?
Okay. Do you want all four guys?
Yeah.
Okay. We talked about this before we hit record. I was trying to think who would be who.
Yeah.
So I've got Thurl Bailey as my Shaq.
Okay. Fair enough.
Bowler Jack is my Ernie.
Ooh, okay.
And then this was the hardest one. I've got Jeff Hornacek as my Kenny Smith.
Okay.
And Darren Williams as my Charles Barkley.
That's good.
So let me give you my intuition. Thurl Bailey, he's warm. Shaq is warm.
Yeah, big guy.
Make you feel good. And Thurl Bailey is such a tall guy. So I think he naturally is my Shaq. Bowler Jack, Ernie can't be a former player. And so Bowler Jack's like the most knowledgeable. He'll keep him in line like Ernie does. And then Jeff Hornacek, he's like been an NBA coach. He can go like to the video board and like point stuff out.
Yeah.
I don't think he'll be as funny as Kenny though. So maybe I'm willing to hear another Kenny if you want to swap him out.
Yeah.
And then Darren Williams, he's a character. He's funny.
He's way funny.
And that's That'd why I good. Put him.
Nice. I like that. I kind of did mine. Mine is all former players. Well, yeah. Some current NBA players. I kind of maybe envisioned this. We didn't really talk about when this would be, but I envisioned it like 10 years from now. So I was like thinking of guys.
Okay.
Anyways, so my Ernie, I was thinking of somebody who's kind of like even keel, could keep everybody kind of. And so I think Mike Conley would be a great Ernie Johnson.
I like it. I like it.
Just like one of the nicest guys in the NBA. I think everybody acknowledges that. My Shaq,
He could arguably be Kenny too.
That's true. He could. My Shaq, I had a hard time thinking of. Jazz haven't really had a lot of Shaq type players, but I really miss Jay Crowder. I love Jay Crowder on the Jazz. I think he'd just be a fun guy to listen to. You know, he was kind of loud.
I don't know if he's like a analyst though.
Maybe
like,
not.
I don't know. He could learn. I
also sometimes feel like Shaq's not really. When I hear Shaq talk, it doesn't seem like he like. Is actually talking about the game. He just kind of says stuff. I don't know. I'm not like a fan of what Shaq says. He's just funny to me. But so that's what I have for Shaq. My Charles Barkley. I thought we were gonna match up on this one, which is totally okay. But Joe Ingles, 100%.
Like
I think he would be so fun to listen to.
He'd be funny.
And this one, it doesn't really match up with Kenny, to be honest, but Richard Jefferson seems like a...
Boo.
He's already a media guy. You
I don't
know?
Like him.
You don't like him? Okay, fair enough.
He's okay at his job, yeah. But the other analysts or the other color commentators are better.
Yeah.
He's like...
That's fair.
D-tier.
That's fair. But I was just thinking, like, I like Mike Conley as, like, the stabilizing guy, yep. There, and then just three guys who just are kind of crazy, which seems like kinda inside goofballs. The NBA sometimes, yeah. So
yeah, I guess we were thinking about it differently, yeah. But I think it turned out good. You've kind of got the future, and I've got the past.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see what happens. Probably it won't happen, but
love it. Okay, well, the Lakers coaching.
Oh,
what's going on there?
What a mess.
Do you want to be the coach of the Lakers? I think they're I think they're still hiring or interviewing if you want
to
go in.
I think they are. So I actually listened to a podcast, but I was driving home from, I had a little road trip, and they were talking about the Dan Hurley. I don't know if you saw that he was the guy.
He declined $70 million.
Yep. And apparently before that, the front runner was J.J. Redick. And apparently the job was his, and then all of a sudden the Lakers just decided Dan Hurley's their guy. And now they want to come back to J.J. Redick, who's not excited about being the second option. Lakers have to be one of the most mismanaged organizations of basketball right now. Like, what a mess. Like, just like, I don't know. I mean, if you're going to go get Dan Hurley, apparently they could have offered him more money. I'm not saying they should have.
They lowballed him.
So I'm just saying, if you're gonna like give the middle finger to guys like J.J. Redick and whoever else they were talking to, then you got to make sure that you can get your guy. You know, And I also wouldn't want to coach that circus over there. The roster's horrible. It's just not.
Well, I don't think a Lakers coach lasts more than 3 years.
No, yeah, and you don't want that to be your first head coaching job. Darvin Ham might not ever get a coaching job again. Head coaching job again, like. Which is unfortunate for him because he could
totally do it. Yeah. He wasn't that bad. Yeah. I would have seen him continue on another team,
absolutely.
Not Lakers.
Absolutely. So. But Frank Vogel's still available. I don't think they'll do that. But
he is a champion.
Yeah. He did win them a championship. So. But apparently they're still talking with J.J. Redick. Maybe
I heard James Borrego might be the guy.
Yeah. Is he one of their assistants now? Or I can't remember.
I don't know.
He used to be
the coach of the Hornets a while ago.
So those are the only two names I've heard, but I don't know where they're landing. It's taken forever, I'm guessing, probably.
Yeah, no, literally, I think they're going to take some guy off the street and hire him because nobody wants that coaching job right now.
Yeah, might as well.
But I think it's good that Dan Hurley went with UConn as like his own personal decision. He's making less money there, but... I think he's in such a great place.
Oh, yeah.
He gets to build his own teams, too.
He's in one of the blue bloods of college basketball.
He's won two championships already.
Back
so he's got, like, guys, college guys want to play for him.
Yeah.
They're all thinking, we want to go to UConn because Klingon and Stephon Kessler are lottery picks. And so he's making a good case for people. So I think it was a good move for him not to go to
Lakers. Imagine if your coach had an opportunity to coach the LA Lakers, such an iconic organization, and he declined it to come back and coach you. Imagine how hyped you'd be and like, oh man, they might go three-peat. I don't know. Who knows?
Low key,
what
I think they should
like.
Just not hire a coach and have LeBron be the player coach.
I mean, might
like,
as well.
I don't know if you know like Bill Russell when he was playing, he was a coach of the team while playing.
Yeah.
So like just do a little Bill Russell throwback with LeBron and I don't know. Yeah. I think he could do it.
You could have Anthony Davis be an assistant coach because he doesn't play that many games. So he could fill in, you know, where LeBron can't.
That's
so.
Funny. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, good luck for the Lakers, I guess. Yeah. Or maybe not good luck because we have their pick in 2029.
Works best for us.
30,
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, the new hockey club, there's news, but also no news about the new name. So unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, we knew. This next year, we're going to be the Utah Hockey Club. They announced the branding, the jerseys.
I like how they're spacing out all their announcements. So, like, we don't have everything all at once. It's
absolutely.
Here's the first round, second round of names. Now we got the logos and the jerseys. And pretty soon we'll get the final four names or even the number one. I don't know which is the next step. But
yeah, absolutely. We're kind of rolling with the baby blue, or they called it mountain blue. I guess that's probably what it's probably more called. Pretty cool. We talked last week about how we liked the baby blue Jazz jerseys. So these kind of are fitting with that. I'm sure that's not what they were intending, but
yeah, I like them. I think for this first year, just don't go too crazy.
Yeah.
And they did that. So it's just white and black jerseys and blue like highlights. So
yeah, very nice.
I'm okay with it. Sadly, I know you like Mammoth.
Uh-huh.
I saw a poll of like the votes so far. Mammoth was number 6.
Oh, was it? Oh, that's
okay. I'm so sad, but Blizzard was number 1.
Okay.
So I'm surprised. I had heard a lot of people like Mammoth, but I guess the voting... Hey, go vote for Mammoth right now,
guys.
That's
right. Come on.
Like, if you're listening to this, go. We need more Mammoth votes.
We'll add some votes.
I don't know who's voting for Venom. Like, what the heck?
Yeah. I don't think we could go too terribly wrong with any of the names on the list. So I'm not too upset by it, but it's, you know.
I just don't want Venom. Anything else is good with me.
Yeah, honestly. You could do a good job. Well, thank you so much for joining us on our episode today. We appreciate you spending your time with us. Don't forget to check out our past episodes. We got a lot of great stuff. Last week we ranked jerseys. We've gone through our draft prospects. Our last month of episodes have been really informative with Jazz stuff, even though there's not been a lot of Jazz news. You know,
if there is Jazz news, we covered it.
Yes. So go check those out. Remember, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube. So you can listen wherever you prefer. And we, again, appreciate you joining us, and we hope that you and your family take care.